I've been singing Mark the Evangelist praises as we've entered into year B of the gospel cycles in the Catholic Church because of his extreme economy of words, Hemingway-esque in his brilliance. But tonight, oh, tonight, he remained in the desert 40 days, tempted by Satan. That's all we get. That's all we get of the temptation of Jesus. I mean, imagine, it's the second person of the Trinity taking flesh, going into the desert, doing battle with Satan, and that's all Mark gives us. I'm sure in heaven, Matthew and Luke chuckle. And they just say, you know, Mark, man, sometimes less is just less. So St. Matthew to the rescue, all right, in a little bit. But first of all, just a couple words about temptation in general. Not for anybody here, but only for your friends who I'm sure undergo temptation from time to time. Not that any of you could relate at all. So temptation is normal, it is necessary, and if handled rightly, it is good. It is normal, it is necessary, and it is good. It is normal. It is a normal part of the spiritual life. In fact, the more you're growing in your spiritual life, the more the evil one wants to throw traps and set up obstacles, and so you will be tempted. You will be tempted. In fact, sometimes recognizing that you're being tempted is a great sign that you're actually growing. Because if you're moving away from the Lord, the last thing the devil needs to do is tempt you. He's already got you. So it is normal. It is necessary. I will appeal to authority. St. Augustine. Our pilgrimage on earth cannot be exempt from trial or temptation. We progress by means of trial. No one knows himself except through trial. And then the great Pope St. Leo the Great, virtue is nothing without trial or temptation. For there is no conflict without an enemy, no victory without strife. Friends, we are the ecclesia militans, the church militant on earth, the fighting church. And just as Jesus came to do battle, and does battle, especially on the cross, with all the forces that are aligned against him and his will, so too, as Christians, we are called to do battle. And so, temptation is necessary. We have to fight. And if we fight in the right way, we will become stronger. And so, in that sense, temptation is good. It is resistance training. We push against temptation, and we become stronger. I know most of us probably don't think that our temptations are good in any way, shape, or form. But if they were of themselves bad, if temptation was in and of itself an evil, then Jesus would be a sinner. Because he was tempted. So, temptation is normal, it is necessary, and if we handle it like the Lord, it is good. Now, what is the rest of the story that Mark glazed over? Of course you've heard it before, but let me refresh your memory from St. Matthew. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. The tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." And Jesus said in reply, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, And with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their magnificence. He said to him, all these I shall give to you if you will prostrate yourself and worship me. At this, Jesus said to him, get away, Satan. It is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Everyone know the story? All fresh in your mind now. What I want to do is take these three temptations and apply them hopefully to situations that you and I face, and also apply what the church offers as an antidote. I want to take these in reverse order because there's an infernal logic in what Satan does. And you'll see when we get to the first one why he starts there, especially for us, especially in 2018. So the third one, Satan takes Jesus up to a high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and says, if you but prostrate yourself and worship me, I will give you all these things. And so the temptation is very clear to idolatry, to bow down before anything that's not God, to worship that, to prostrate oneself. And of course, that might be subtle to us, but man, do we do that. We do bow down. We do prostrate ourselves before all sorts of things that are not God. And the antidote, my friends, is one of the disciplines of Lent. Prayer. When we pray, and if you went to Mass on Ash Wednesday, you heard Jesus say, when you pray, not if you pray. When you pray, you bow down before the only one who is worthy of you. You bow down before the only true God. And when we prostrate ourselves before him, when we kneel before him, he always lifts us up. And in the history of the Old Testament and in the New Testament, right down to our day, when we worship rightly, we become free. And anytime we worship wrongly, whatever that idol might be, we become enslaved. Look it up in Israel's history. Look it up in the church's history. Look it up in your own history. Right worship leads to freedom. And so prayer becomes this great antidote to idolatry. The second temptation that the evil one places before our Lord is a subtle one. He brings Jesus to the top of the temple and says, throw yourself down. And if you do that, it is written, notice Satan quotes scripture to Jesus. It is written that he will send his angels to uphold you. So I pondered this, and what could this be in our day and age? I needed to turn to an old friend for help. And some of you parents will know him, and some of you students might know him, and most of you people will not know him. The great Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. How many people have heard of him? All right, good. All the old people, except for Andrew. Okay, no. Fulton Sheen, awesome. A great, hopefully one day, saint, right? And he said this temptation is subtle because it has to do with religious things. And the temple in Jerusalem was the center of everything. It was what it was all about. It was the main place. Everybody went there. Everybody paid attention to what was going on there. And so as Jesus would cast himself off the parapet, it would be noticed. He would be exalted. He would be lifted up, and everybody would see him for how great he was. My friends, it's the temptation to narcissism in 2018 for you and me. It's the selfie culture. My life is so cool and I want everybody to know about it. Hashtag awesome. Do you know how lame that sounded coming out of my mouth? Do you know why that sounded lame coming out of my mouth? Because the whole thing's lame. So stop it. It's so easy for us to want to be noticed in the wrong way. To make people think, wow, look at what he's got. Look at how cool her life is. And we spend so much time and so much energy doing that. And we turn inward and inward. We have to pump our lives up to make them look more awesome than they are. And we feel jealous and envious when we see other people doing things that we can't do. And that's a real thing. It's actually being diagnosed right now as we finally start to realize maybe this social media thing isn't so cool. The antidote, my friends, is almsgiving, where you simply serve others without trying to impress them. Where you simply say, I'm here for you. You don't have to do anything for me. I don't even need to be noticed by you. What a breath of fresh air. What a glorious breath of freedom. Pray about that one. And the last one, which is really the first one, is what Satan does to tempt Jesus specifically in his humanity. He tempts Jesus, who's hungry. He says, turn these stones into loaves of bread. This is the temptation to satisfy oneself. A fancy technical term would be hedonism. To pleasure yourself, to satisfy whatever you want. And brothers and sisters, this is the one that we really need to pay attention to. Why? Because, look, if Satan gets Jesus to fall to this one, he doesn't even need to worry about the second two. He's already got him. The person who's enslaved to satisfying himself is necessarily going to become a narcissist and necessarily going to bow down in false worship. He will worship idols. But our culture, every one of us, let's pay attention to how much we desire to satisfy ourselves instantaneously. And Satan starts pretty basic. Jesus is hungry. He tempts him there. If Jesus had given in there, everything else would follow as far as what Satan would want him to do. So too in our lives. Simple things. We give in. I want it. I got it. And what we say is, I want it. I need it. And it starts real basic, but then it spreads like a cancer until our whole soul is wrapped up in satisfying ourselves. I said it starts basic. I gotta have my coffee in the morning. I gotta have my ice cream at the stack. I gotta have my Wi-Fi. I gotta be able to watch the show I want when I want to watch it. I've got to be able to download that new album in 7 seconds or less. All of it starts real basic, but then it mushrooms, doesn't it? And it mushrooms into some pretty awful things. I talked a couple weeks ago about addictions. So we get addicted to food. And then we get addicted to gaming. And then we get addicted to our smartphones. And then we get addicted to pornography. And all of it starts from some very simple, I deserve this, I got it, I want it. And it starts real simple, and then it gets real bad, real fast. The church gives a great solution, a great antidote to this. And of course, I'm talking about fasting. I hope that every single one of you has engaged Lent in a serious way through all three disciplines, but especially through fasting, my friends. Because, if we cannot deny ourselves anything, then we will be narcissists and we will be worshiping all sorts of idols. You see, if Satan got Jesus to trip on the first temptation, he wouldn't need the second two. If he gets our culture and us to trip on the first thing, satisfy yourself all the time, whenever you want, whatever you want, immediately, then he has us right where he wants us. Jesus knows that, and so he shows us a different way. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow me. Deny yourself. I know that sounds awful, but friends, when we deny ourselves, there is so much freedom that enters our lives. When we say no to some desire, we exercise and activate deeper desires. Look at Jesus. Watch his move. Is he hungry? You bet he is. But here's what happens. Because he has fasted, it is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Because Jesus has been fasting, because he has denied himself, he is aware of his deepest desire, which is also his deepest need, to be in communion with his Father, to live from the Word of God. If we never deny ourselves anything, we will never know that deeper desire. We will never act upon it. We will be hooked on superficial things, and those superficial things will get their hooks deep into us. And then they don't remain so superficial. They become profound spiritual problems. And those problems are real, and they are here right now in every single one of us. But the better news is this, that Jesus is here. And he is here right now. And he has shown us a better way. And he invites us into this holy season through prayer and through almsgiving. And I said, and I'll say it again, through fasting to allow our souls to be set free, to let the deepest desires of our hearts spring forward. And Lent means springtime, to live in a different way. Brothers and sisters, that is great news for you and for me. We are meant to be free men and women in Jesus Christ. St. Paul says, for freedom Christ has set us free, so do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Do not submit to slavery, to false worship, to exalting yourself, or to your own lowest desires. Jesus set you free, and he will set you free again. Let's say yes to him, and in so doing, become free men and women who can live the gospel and invite others into it. Our Lord loves us. He fights for us. Let's fight alongside him so that we can know the great victory that he has already won.